step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, we're back with another episode of the Dixie Dems. It's the podcast from Lean to the Left that takes an irreverent look at politics in the South as well as nationwide. So stay with us.
Welcome to Lean to the Left, home of no-holds-barred commentary, plus interviews with fascinating people, some of them top experts, others simply with interesting stories to tell. You'll never know who'll show up at Lean to the Left. Now here's your host, Bob Gatti.
Hey guys, welcome to the Lean to the Left podcast and the March 2023 episode of the Dixie Dems with my partners Arthur Hill from North Carolina and Robert Thompson from Georgia. Arthur's communications chair of the Brunswick County, North Carolina Democratic Party, and Robert Thompson is based in Atlanta. He founded Peach News Now and his opinion podcast, Top Damn Liberals, which is worth a listen. Me, I'm based in South Carolina, hope of GOP Trump acolytes, Senators Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott, one of whom got wiped out in his bid for the 2016 GOP presidential nomination, and the other for whom a similar fate awaits in 2024. That's my prediction. Today we'll take a look at what's happening politically in our three states as well as across the country. So welcome, guys.
Thanks, Bob.
Hey, Arthur, what's happening in North Carolina? I read that the Republicans there plan to reverse a redistricting decision.
What's happened is that in North Carolina, we elect our judges all the way up to the state Supreme Court, which is a process got some questions about, but that's what we do. And in the last year, the Supreme Court, which had been 3-2 Democrat, became 3-2 Republican. First thing the legislature did was ask the court to reconsider decisions that the Democratic-led version of the court had made a couple of years ago on gerrymandering and voter ID. So they had hearings on that yesterday, Tuesday, and remains to be seen what will happen. But the people are betting that since the Supreme Court is now controlled by Republicans, that the court will restore the original gerrymandering plan that the Republicans had put in place, which obviously favors Republican legislators, and also reimpose a voter ID requirement, which a previous Supreme Court had kicked out. So exciting times at the state Supreme Court. There was a fairly significant demonstration out in front of the building while the hearings were going on. And a number of members of Congress and state Democratic officials spoke at a press conference, again, outside the building during the rally. So don't know whether that'll make any difference, but they did it and they were there and they aired their views. So that's what's going on with the Supreme Court. We also had, last week, we had our State of the State speech by the governor and a response by the Republican Lieutenant Governor. Roy Cooper, the governor, gave a pretty good speech about the need to improve funds for education, which is a raging issue in the legislature, headed by the fact that there's a Supreme Court, the Supreme Court again, made a decision some time ago to release $1 billion in funds for secondary education, and the Republican legislature has yet to do it. The governor also talked about Medicaid expansion, which finally the legislature has gotten behind, and it looks like later this year, the legislature could approve an expansion of Medicaid in North Carolina. However, the devil's in the details, and the Republicans are trying to tie Medicaid expenditures to somehow to the budget, to the state budget, which wasn't part of the original deal under Obamacare. So we'll see what happens with that. The response to Cooper's address was by a lieutenant governor, Mark Robinson, who's a pretty radical Republican and who probably will be the Republicans' candidate for governor in 2024. And except he's a pretty much of a radical, but it was a pretty calm and orderly speech for him. And I think most observers were surprised and were quick to remind viewers what the lieutenant governor has said about things like abortion in the past. So that was the exciting event that took place last week. And the legislature is considering behind the scenes another resolution to join 19 other states that have called for a convention of states to amend the Constitution. It requires 34 states to approve similar resolutions to get to actually force a convention. And a lot of conservative groups around the country, led by the Koch Foundation and people like that, are pursuing adoption of the legislation to primarily for two reasons. One, to impose term limits on members of Congress, and two, to impose some restrictions on constitutional restrictions on federal budgets, which they feel are out of hand. Something to keep your eye on. I don't know whether it'll ever happen, but 19 states have approved it so far, and there are lobbying campaigns going on in a lot of Republican-controlled legislatures to get their approval, so we'll have to see what happens with that. That's about it for me.
Okay. What's going on with you, Robert?
You're seeing the Republican Party zero in on their niche issues that are not popular with everyone, even though they're going to tell you that they're popular with everyone. Interesting to hear that. But I did do an episode. I came across Stephen Owens. He works for the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute here in Georgia. And he had some background in education. I believe he taught grade school at one time. But the organization that he's with now, they are nonpartisan. They try to make sure that everybody in Georgia is aware of how our budget is put together, where the expenditures, where the tax credits and so forth. And so that episode is live, and it's very timely because Georgia's legislative session is about 40, 45 days, and it's in session right now. It feels like that's very short. A lot of other states, I think, go a little bit longer, but that's how we do it here in Georgia. But there are some school voucher bills that I was actually thinking that here in Georgia, we did not have any form of school vouchers. I was corrected. And there was actually a story that Stephen told about a private school down in South Georgia. I am well aware of. I grew up down. And he basically said it was a state-funded failure. Don't quote me on those words exactly, but you've got state education funds going to a school that is not really doing all that well. And when they looked at comparing these private schools to public schools, the outcomes are not really there. But yet, of course, generally Republican-led legislators, they are out there trying to tout these bills. It was also interesting. I can see this happening. So you've got a lot of rural Georgia Republican legislators. They're not really happy about these school vouchers. they view their small communities and their small schools as working. And these school voucher bills potentially taking away from something that's working in their community. So it was very interesting to hear his side of what's literally going on. And I encourage everybody, if you go out, it's resist.bond. So this website, again, if that's an odd URL, I agree, but it's literally type into resist.bot, B-O-T, and use a tool like that to make sure that your voice is heard in both state government and the federal government, especially here in Georgia right now with all these bills flying back and forth in this quick session, like I said, 45 days to get at this step. We discussed about generations of Georgians paying that top 6% of tax. Republican blew that all out of the water. And of course, they adjusted that top tax bracket down. I think it's 5 3/4 or even less now. And they're also, as I keep saying here in Georgia, through these generations of time, this will probably be the second Georgia tax rebate that Republicans and Kemp are pushing out. I still equate that to the basically paying for votes. If you are in office and you're rebating taxes to taxpayers, that's basically paying for votes. And it's never been done here in Georgia. The whole time I lived here my whole life. And now we're looking at a second rebate to pay off and get those votes. So that's bills that are in their way. It was in the AJC to Georgia for heavy trucks. So the limit, as you go down the road in rural areas, you see 80,000 pounds as these trucks are barreling down the road. There's a bill to make it 88,000. And you've got folks in local communities that are not sure about this. You've got folks that have been killed by these heavy trucks, either didn't stop or were not able to stop because they were so heavy. And so again, that's House Bill 189. We'll see what happens there. Further out west, just two more things here. I want to give kudos to my one of the week. This is Senator Michaela Kavanaugh in Nebraska. She is into 3 weeks of filibuster over some trans bills that are being introduced in small Nebraska. Much about Nebraska, there are more cows and chickens in Nebraska than people. He had brought the legislature to a grinding halt and is talking about things like Girl Scout cookies and barbecue recipes in order to stop these bills. And honestly, I need to send her a box or two Girl Scout cookies because the large work in the rural state of Nebraska out there. And then lastly, do we want to send our condolences to Moscow Mitch, who fell and bumped his head?
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Oh, yeah. You want to send a couple of boxes of those raspberry cookies that whatever company is that makes Girl Scout cookies ran out of?
Yeah, I heard they were selling for, $1,000 a box.
Yeah, they were selling on eBay, and the company was all ticked off and got out of shape because somebody else was selling their cookies.
I know. I was at Walmart the other day, and people were selling Girl Scout cookies outside of Walmart. And I just glanced over at the table. I didn't see any of those raspberry things. I was going to try to get a box. They had them, but I didn't see any. That's pretty amazing. All right. So are you done there, Robert? You shot your wad, have you?
That was plenty. Again, I do want to repeat that. Senator Michaela Kavanaugh out in Nebraska, she is doing the Lord's work. I appreciate it.
It sounds like she is. Well, there's a bunch of crazy stuff going on in other states, some Southern, not all Southern, but certainly the Republicans in the South are not wasting any time in putting together these crazy bills that attack LGBTQ people and everything else.
Remember, they also copied and pasted them.
Yeah, that's true.
The folks are not that smart to stay up at night and write them.
Yeah, you're right there.
Yeah, those organizations writing those bills nationally.
Yeah, we talked about that last time.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. That's probably what's going on. Anyway, here in South Carolina, we just had that Alex Murdaugh trial. That's the lawyer in the state who had been charged with killing his wife and son. He was convicted since our last episode. He was convicted, and he's been sentenced to two life consecutive life terms. And that's a pretty amazing. It's not really a political development, although that family has been active in local politics here for a long time. His father and grandfather were prosecutors. Unfortunately for that family, which was respected to the point where they called that area the state Murdoch country. Unfortunately for that family, their reputation has been shot after generations of effort by Murdoch's father and grandfather.
I was going to ask you, I had a friend that's Aretha McIntyre, and do you know, I believe it's the Nights the Light Went Out in Georgia. And there's a lyric in that song, "Don't trust your soul to no backwoods Southern lawyer." And she sang that at her concert and got a standing ovation.
Yeah. Well, Murdoch's lawyers say they're going to appeal. I don't think they've got much of a chance. The legal beagles here think that they don't really have much grounds, but we'll see. That judge was really good, the one that handled that case. Anyway, we've got more than 20 Republicans in the state house that have introduced legislation that would impose the death penalty on women who undergo abortions. Now, to me, that's just a freaking incredible thing. Most attorneys that I've spoken with don't think that bill, if it's passed, would pass constitutional muster, but you never know. Clinton's state is crazy. Anyway, so much for right to life. That's what I got to say about that. They want to impose a death penalty on women that have abortions for whatever reason.
I'll just repeat what my friend said. You know, she's another nail on my foot. And then this is another friend said, it's the Handmaid's. If you watch that show or read the book.
Yeah.
Thing all over.
Yeah. As Robert indicated, South Carolina is and Georgia, they're not the only states that, whether Republicans are up to no good. We've seen this go, especially in Florida with DeSantis. They've got bills there to ban gender studies, limit trans pronouns, and establish a universal school choice voucher program. They want to ban abortion at 6 weeks. DeSantis is constantly attacking the LGBTQ plus community, from criminalizing drag shows to restricting transgender rights, expanding gun access by scaling back licensing requirements and encouraging school employees to carry guns, targeting educators and students by slashing curriculum and banning books. That's all part of, he has that bill, this anti-woke, I guess it's a law, anti-woke law in Florida. Do you guys know what, I had somebody write a blog for my Lead to the Left blog site about woke, what the origin of woke and what it means. I still don't understand.
I mean,
what the hell is, and what is woke?
If Moscow Mitch had been woke, he probably would not have fell and bumped his head.
That could be. At any rate, from what I understand, the definition of woke is someone who wants to be fair and just and does not discriminate. And it is not racist and so on. If that's the definition of woke, then sign me up. But incredible.
If there was a lady on some sort of news interview and they asked her, they said, you know, what is woke? And she couldn't answer.
I don't know. There's a story in the Washington Post the other day about that, saying that the Republicans can't even define what woke is, even though they all spout it. So It's just ridiculous.
It was the same with socialism.
Yeah.
True. Heaven forbid we cut Social Security and Medicare.
That's
But
Florida doesn't have a, what's the word I'm looking for? They don't own the ability to propose hateful legislation.
Stay tuned to hear what's going on in some of these other states with respect to these crazy proposals by the Republicans.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
In Virginia, there's a host of bills aimed at transgender youth that were killed in the General Assembly, but Governor Glenn Youngkin, supposed to be a moderate Republican, has proposed so-called model policies, and I really don't know what they are, but they're pending. What I've been reading, the indication is that they probably haven't reached a conclusion. So there'll probably be more action in Virginia on that, and probably some threatening legislation.
It's going to be DeSantis. I think there's a reasonable chance that DeSantis may overstep. He's got a hell of a legislative agenda waiting for the state legislature down there to approve. But what if it, and he wants 100% participation and 100% approval so he can show the country that he is, has the ability to govern, which with that legislature, if my dog were governor, he probably could get some stuff through too. But he may be running a risk of overstepping a little bit. He's already started with what happened yesterday after his comments came out about Ukraine, and a lot of national Republicans took him over the coals for that, saying that we have to stand behind Ukraine and we have to support Ukraine. And DeSantis was saying that it's not important. We shouldn't, in effect, he said, we shouldn't be supporting him. So he might overstep, and he might get into trouble for not being able to do what he's trying to do as governor of Florida. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. That's going to be an interesting. Do you guys think that it's really Trump and DeSantis and that's it? Or do you think that some of these other people will have some sort of legitimate shot at the Republican nomination?
I think your ex-governor is going to come on. She's not now. I think she's only 4 or 5% in the polls, but that's because most people don't know who she is. And but I think she has the ability to rise in the polls. I don't know. And I think Trump's in free fall. I don't see him being as big a factor in the primaries as he has been in the past.
If you look at Trump, he did not get the popular vote in the first time. He lost the second time. I don't see that trend changing, especially with what all of Ben's cronies are doing. That they're losing election battles. You've got the voting machine maker outing everybody at Fox News for lies that they've been telling and having a financial impact to that. I don't know. We'll see.
You mentioned Arthur Nikki Haley, the former governor of South Carolina, and thinking that she's got a chance to rise in the polls. She might. She's popular here. 1,000 people turned out at her rally here the other day, which I thought was a really good turnout for her. 1,000 people. But it's going to be a tough. Do you really think that she's got the legs to win a nomination?
Be perfectly honest, she scares me. She's intelligent. She's attractive. She represents a clear alternative to Trump and DeSantis. And I think, and Pence isn't going anywhere. So I think that if Republicans who are looking for somebody to ally with that are repelled by Trump and DeSantis, you've got Nikki Haley standing out there waiting in the wings to increase her popularity. And it's really early. Not too many people outside of South Carolina know about Nikki Haley. Even though, and she's got a track record, she's a governor, she's a former ambassador to the UN, so she's got chief executive chops and she's got international relations chops. I think once the word starts getting out around her, let me be clear, I'm not supporting Nikki Haley for president, but I am saying that I think she could be a formidable candidate in a general election.
I think that you make a really good point, Arthur. And then you've got the women's vote, too, that she likely would be supported by a lot of women, even though some of her positions are contrary to what's really beneficial for a lot of women. Yeah, you probably make a very good point there.
She did a wonderful job. Again, I'm not supporting her for president, but she did a wonderful job during that fiasco with the Confederate flag. She was spot on in how she handled that. And I don't know whether that'll come up again now, but I remember thinking at the time, boy, if she ever runs for president, she could be a good candidate for the Republicans.
Remind the people what she did with respect to that.
When there was a outcry about flying the Confederate flag on the grounds of the state capitol in South Carolina, Haley, in essence, came out in support of taking the flag down and replacing it with another state flag. And I think that her position on that was right on. It came, as I recall, I think the timing was, it came after that mass shooting in Charleston.
So
the timing was exactly right. And she did a great job of expressing her views and her position, and the flag came down.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I was reading the other day that in Oklahoma, this is changing the subject a bit, but in Oklahoma, there's this Republican congressman by the name of Jim Olson, who says that the Bible endorses corporal punishment of disabled kids. Can you freaking believe that?
I believe it. You know, that this happened, and why don't you go ahead further and kill them off? Nazi government.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly right.
Yeah. And it goes back to these Republicans that they want to protect these unborn children, but once they come out, they could care less.
Yeah. Now, apparently, his comment about that came as part of a debate about a bill that would bar schools from spanking children with disabilities. I didn't know that that was even allowed anymore. So you need a bill to specifically to ban that in Oklahoma. Is that crazy?
Just check his battery. It sounds like he's going way off screen.
So funny. All right, back to Trump. Do you guys think that there's any chance of a moderate Republican? Would you say that Nikki Haley is a moderate Republican, Arthur? I think she's, no, she's not. She's a right-wing nutcase.
Yeah, she's, she's a nutcase. I wouldn't go so far as say she's.
Yeah, you're right there. I shouldn't call her a nutcase.
Definitely right-wing. Very much of a conservative. That's why her stand on the flag was so eye-opening, I thought. But no, she's not a moderate. And moderates didn't do well this week. You heard that there's a story out in the Washington Post today about the Larry Hogan, the former governor of Maryland, Republican of Maryland, who is a moderate.
Right.
His chief of staff apparently is going to jail for fraud and embezzlement. Fortunately for Hogan, he's already announced that he's not running for president. He put out a letter last week saying he wasn't running for president. But this isn't a good climate for moderates in the Republican Party.
Was there, by the way, on that story, was there any indication that his chief of staff's legal problems might brush off onto Hogan?
No, not yet.
Yeah.
And Hogan's denied he knew anything about what this guy was doing, but no trace of that yet.
The only thing I can say about talking about the House, the U.S. House, is there's a core of moderate Republicans, 15 to 20 people in the House, that could, under the right circumstances, ally with Democrats to pass some legislation in the House over the opposition of the rest of the Republican Party. So there is a theory that maybe moderate Republicans in the House could control, have the power to control what goes on, what comes in out of the House. But I haven't seen any evidence of that happening yet. We'll have to watch it and see.
Yeah. So on the Senate side, I would look at Lisa Murkowski.
Yeah.
Probably being close to moderate Republican as he can get. And she actually got a win for her state. They're going to start drilling up there in Alaska, if you read that story. But apparently there was some discussion in that story that particular project was mentioned every time Ellen her staffers met with somebody at the White House. Yeah, that bipartisan and the moderates there. So.
Hey, what did you think of Josh Hawley accusing the Biden administration of being anti-Catholic? Did you see that?
Sullivan, that's, boy, talk about kind of black. That was just an astounding statement, given Biden's religious activity. And I can't believe anybody would believe that, but they probably do.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. To me, Biden is a strong, practicing Catholic. He's in trouble over his abortion position, but I think his abortion position is one out of political necessity, not necessarily something that he...
I would ask you, this is the same Josh Hawley that was running the other way, away from the January 6th protester?
Yeah, he's the one that was holding up his victory fingers.
He did that, and then a half hour later, there's another picture of him running away, running through the corridors of the Capitol. There's video of that.
I know that.
Well, right after George Romney went running by the same place.
Oh, what a wonderful group of people we are represented by. It's just amazing.
Ted Kennedy had the same problem. Speaking of Protestant Catholics, Ted Kennedy had the same problem with the abortion issue that Biden does now. So that's nothing new.
That's true. You mentioned a minute ago, I think it was you, Arthur, that Trump's performance has just been abysmal. Can you imagine sitting through a 2-hour Trump speech sitting outside?
That's why they're not woke.
I just can't freaking imagine. I listened to that man for 5 minutes. Not even, I can't do that. 5 seconds. And he just drives me crazy. Imagine sitting there for 2 hours, listening to him drone on and on and whining and carrying on. And people do it. I just don't understand it.
Like I said, that's the best the Republicans can come up with. You're going to lose.
Yeah, for sure. You see the CPAC conference, 62% of Republicans at that conservative political action committee conference, 62% of Republicans voted for Trump in a straw poll, and only 20% supported DeSantis. And I don't know, I don't think Haley got much more than 4 or 5% if she got that.
That's pretty much what she's getting now everywhere.
Yeah, right.
The thing about Trump, sometimes when Trump is actually able to put one logical thought after another, he reminds me of Rush Limbaugh. You guys remember Rush Limbaugh?
Oh, yeah.
Even further, Rush Limbaugh has polluted how many of our public airways, by the way?
Yeah, speaking of polluting the public airways, yeah.
Exactly.
But he had the uncanny ability to be able to make an initial statement, I'm talking about Limbaugh now, that was a little bit off. It was about 90% right and about 10% wrong. And then he'd start building on that statement. So it looked like the Leaning Tower of Pisa as it went up, because it got more crooked, more off base, and more off base, until he got to the logical conclusion, which was clearly made no sense at all, but unless you went back and looked at where he started from. And Trump, when he's doing as well as he can, he has the same ability to do that. And he'll start off by saying all news is fake, and then he'll just take off from there and he'll go up. And I think people are getting that they've listened to Rush Limbaugh do it for however long he did it, 20 years, whatever it was. And now they've listened to Trump do it for 8 or 9 years. I think people are getting tired of it.
Yeah.
And he's not selling out the venues like he used to.
That's true. The Department of Justice the other day said that he could be sued for January 6th. I have said this all along. I think that the legal issues are going to end up getting Trump more than anything else. I really do. I think he could end up in some serious legal, if not behind bars, but pretty close to it.
Great. They'll just continue hiring Rudy Giuliani. I don't think practice law anymore.
No, he's done.
Yeah.
They pulled his law license.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being an attorney and getting a phone call from Trump to say I need a lawyer? Just feeling nauseous and really, am I faking this phone?
That might not be so bad if he paid his bills.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the guy doesn't pay, he doesn't pay anybody.
Yeah. He got sued by the guys that he hired.
Yeah. Hey, what do you guys think about this bank fiasco that's going on? I interviewed a guy yesterday, or the other day, who is a financial wizard of sorts. And he believes that we haven't seen anything yet, that there's a lot more to come. And then Moody's gave a really bad rating for banks nationally. I think it was yesterday. Does this concern you guys?
What was it, close to a decade that our interest rates were basically zero?
Yeah.
That the house I'm sitting in right now is financed at less than 3%. The car that we have was financed at 1%. It's basically zero interest. And you've had that going on for a decade. No one wants to admit that was one of the leading causes of inflation. And now you've got the results. Yes, you can finally get some interest on your savings, but there were a lot of knee-jerk reactions that this radical rise of interest rates that had to be done, because you cannot keep interest rates that low for that long. But this rise in interest rates had to be done. And it's this thing that happened back with the mortgage meltdown. You've got all the investors pointing fingers, looking for their checks and their money. And at the end of the day, it's musical chairs. And you're going to have some banks that go, If you've ever watched CNBC this week and end of last week, there was a lot of white privilege crying. There was also someone who wrote an opinion piece, I believe with the Wall Street Journal, saying that Silicon Valley Bank had a issue with discrimination because they had, what was it, one black person, two or three women on the board. They claimed that they were distracted by diversity instead of running it. And you literally believe that someone is trying to point fingers at diversity or a bunch of old white failing to run it. That's a lot of white privilege on display and a lot of rich white privilege.
The political fallout from this will be interesting. I think and maybe it already is, all out of proportion to what's going on with the financial fallout. It seems to be fueling the fires. And it may be that some of the political fallout and the finger pointing that Robert's talking about could have an impact on banks and people pulling their deposits out of banks that wouldn't have otherwise have taken place. If you watch CNN and I'm sure the other news networks, this basically is all they're talking about this last 2-3 days. All other issues have taken a back seat. And I think that the fallout from the publicity that the bad fortunes of one or two banks have received in the last week are probably going to be far greater than the effects on the financial community, the long-term effects. Although the stock market's not doing well today.
No, it's not. It's down another couple hundred points.
But it'll rebound. But
Joe Biden said it best. If you want capitalism, this is what you got to deal with.
Robert has a very good point. Why are we having an argument about whether or not this is a bailout when what's really at stake is the credibility of our financial institutions? It has nothing to do with who's paying to help avoid a crisis. Everybody should be united in trying to decide this is what had to happen in order to stem the crisis from happening. But it doesn't seem that the political fallout seems to be taken over.
The Republicans have rather just defaulted the debt and just burned all to the ground. So they can send that.
I don't know. I think it's a scary thing, especially when for seniors who need to live on their savings and investments. I know that in my own case, I've just lost a ton of money in the markets since Putin decided to invade Ukraine and hasn't come back from that. It's a scary thing because your livelihood depends on, you've saved all this money all these years, invested it as best you could, and then you've got these kind of external things that go on. And this bank fiasco is just another one. It's scary. It really is.
Yeah. Again, Republicans, Social Security, they want to privatize it. So that all of that money that would be a guaranteed payment is suddenly, oh no, here's you a check, go invest it. Not professional.
Yeah, speaking of that, Nikki Haley, the other day when she was in South Carolina yesterday, I think it was, said that she supports redoing Social Security totally, and that seniors should be, people on Social Security now should be held harmless, but that young people need to have a different approach for the thing to be solved in the future.
Yeah, I'll go back to the grandfather would never vote for a Republican. They were wanting to take a Social Security and Medicare.
Yep.
And here we are again. Every time.
We already did. Back when I was working on Capitol Hill in the 70s, this was an argument. I remember having to debate my boss's Democratic opponent. At that time, I was working for what was then known as a liberal Republican from New Jersey. And I had to debate his Democratic opponent about whether or not there should be an increase in Social Security, and the Republicans opposed it, said that it would contribute to inflation and to the federal deficit. So therefore, they opposed any increase in Social Security. That was back in the early 70s. They were still fighting the same fight. It's incredible to me.
When I was working on the Hill, the thing, or three subjects that we'd get mail about from our constituents were Social Security, gun control, and get the U.S. out of the UN.
Oh, really?
Yeah, those were the three biggies.
Get the U.S. out of the UN, yeah. Yeah, I remember that too, sure. Okay, you guys got anything else going on?
I just want you guys to take a look at what's going on in your respective legislatures and see if what the deal is with this state of Article 5 convention to amend the Constitution. I don't know whether Georgia and South Carolina have passed resolutions on that or not. But
I don't either.
That concerns me.
To amend the Constitution to do what?
To do whatever the hell they want to do. But each state would send a delegation to a convention, and they could debate anything they wanted to. But people who are advocating it are talking about term limits and budget control, budget ceilings and so on, but it could be anything. It's wide open.
Wow.
I'm sure we have plenty here next door in their room. Hell, we had a whole list of fake electors ready to go and put Trump back in office, including our lieutenant
governor. Well, okay, guys. I hope that next time we have something more positive to talk about. All this stuff has been a big downer today, I think.
I mean, we still got to send cookies to Senator Kavanaugh.
Why those ones on eBay?
Okay. All right, guys. I thank you very much for being with us again on our Dixie Dems episode of Lean to the Left. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, just one more break and I'll be back in a sec with some closing comments.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed this podcast and that you'll come back on a regular basis and check out our interviews with guests on topics that I hope you find interesting, entertaining, and enlightening. Our episodes stream weekly, every Monday. Let your friends know about this podcast and take a minute to subscribe. Just go to podcast.leantotheleft.net to subscribe, check out the upcoming interview schedule, and listen to all of our episodes. And follow us on social media, Facebook at the Lean to the Left podcast, Twitter at LeanToTheLeft1, Instagram at BobGaddy_LeanToTheLeft, and TikTok at Lean to the Left. And you can watch the episodes at YouTube at Lean to the Left. And don't forget to visit our blog site, leantotheleft.net, where you'll find commentary on the news by some excellent writers with progressive perspectives on a whole range of topics. You can sign up as a member there, and of course, it's all free. Now, this is Bob Gaddy signing off for Lean to the Left. Thanks for sharing your time with us.